from Sandquist Fields. Broadcasting around the world.
Around the world.
It's time to talk softball with the man, the myth, the legend, Duke Weisbrod. And also, what's his name? Chris Fernanda. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Cambridge Isanti Softball Podcast.
All right, guys, welcome to the debut episode of the Cambridge Isanti Softball Podcast. My name is Chris, and going forward, I'll be doing podcasts with Duke on a somewhat regular basis. There's no set schedule. We'll do them as they make sense. But we're basically doing this to share news about the happenings at Sandquist and the various leagues and tournaments as a way to promote the game of softball and to provide a value add for our sponsors. Each episode's going to focus on a specific topic. This one happens to be the upcoming Cambridge Classic. So I'm going to go ahead and kick it over to Duke to introduce himself and fill you in on what you need to know about the tournament.
Thank you, Chris V. I appreciate it very much. All right, folks. My name is Duke Weisbrod. I am a Cambridge guy. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about myself. I played a lot of basketball when I was young, graduated from Cambridge in 1979. We made it to the state tournament in 78 when I was a junior. Believe it or not, you wouldn't know it by looking at me now. I could dunk a basketball. Now the only thing I can dunk is donuts. But anyways, I started playing softball at a young age and played hard. I mixed a little bit too much beer with my softball as we would travel the five-state area and sometimes not get home till Tuesdays. But once I sobered up, I got heavily involved in softball management as far as leagues and got on the state board and so on and umpiring. And I think my bottom line is with my commitment to softball is that I think sometimes we have some doom and gloom in this world. And I think there's nothing better than people to be outside of all ages and bonding with their friends and getting to know people. And I mean, this softball culture is unbelievable. I had one boss at my job at North Branch Chevrolet that said, "I don't understand that softball, Duke." And I said, "Kelly, you wouldn't believe it. You would not believe it. How many cars we sell at North Branch Chevrolet from people I've known in the softball world. People are looking for plumbers. They're looking for carpenters. They're looking for whatever. It's just, it's an unbelievable culture." So at any rate, I would like to start by saying this is the 28th annual Cambridge Classic. In the early years, it wasn't always called the Cambridge Classic, but it was the same weekend. And I think that was probably 1995 or 96 in that area. Personally, my own team, we ran a couple of tournaments. We were Class B, which might be more like C now, I suppose. Those tournaments were open in those years, and they were a double elimination tournament. Things have changed. That's why, as we'll talk about in a little bit, Chris, we do different tiers because I want to make sure it's as fair play as it can be, even though it starts out open. We reached our goal of 48 teams, 16 women's with two waiters yet, 32 men's, a couple drops, a couple adds, but I know we can't go over 32. We are going to have to use Field 6 across the way there. It's just a short walk across the road. But that is a nice field, a little bit short, but go ahead and hit all the home runs you want. We're going to use it primarily for the women's pool games. In the men's, 32 teams, that's a perfect bracket. You're going to have 16 winners, 16 losers. They're going to go to the one loss bracket. Out of those 16 losers, you are going to have 8 teams that are 0-2. They are going to go to the Tier 3 automatically, which is a single elimination tournament with a consolation bracket. So if those first 4 losers lose that game for their third loss, they are not done yet. They can win a trophy and maybe a little bit of travel expense money. I don't want to ever say that this is based on the old participation trophy, because the way I feel about this tournament is you have to work hard to get to where you're going to be, whether that's tier 2, tier 3, the gold division in the women's, or the platinum. Either way, you can't take it for granted. You got to work hard. So the 0-2s and the 1-2s in the men's are going to be in tier 3. That is a kind of a similar situation as the Big Ten in basketball, where eight teams will be on the left, eight teams will be on the right. It's a four-game guarantee in the men's. I don't really like single elimination, but we just don't have room. So if you are in that tier 3 on the left side and you take a loss, you go to that consolation bracket and you win that game. You're going to play the team that wins the other box in the bracket, and you're going to win a trophy, and you're going to win a little bit of money. On that right side, that's got a third place game in it. It does not have a consolation bracket. And then the winners of the left and the right are going to be champion and runner-up with a fairly decent payout. And, Chris, they will be a third-place game that will get a trophy and some money as well.
Okay. That okay. Good.
Yep. Further on down the bracket a little bit. Like I say, keep checking those brackets because you just never know. I believe it's the 2-2 teams. I think there's going to be eight of them that are going to go out, and they're going to enter into an eight-team single elimination tier 2 bracket with a champion runner-up and a third-place game in that. Just got to step back just a second, Mr. V, and go back to that tier 1 men's. That tier 1 men's is going to be seven home runs. And if any teams think that they're going to maybe sandbag a little bit, I think that the money and I think that the home run difference will hopefully change their minds on that. I don't know many teams that are going to get together and say, let's blow this game, but it could happen, I suppose.
This is probably a dumb question, but why? What would be the motivation to do that?
To get into a bracket that you feel that you have a better chance of winning some money. Because the, you know, the tier one is, I don't know, I have it in front of me, but $1,450 to win, maybe $1,000 for second place. And
yeah, actually, I got it in front of me. It's $1,450 for first, $1,050 for second, $725 for third.
Yep. That is correct. We met our 32 teams. We met our 16 teams. You know, every tournament director, you have to do this to protect yourself. But on the registration sheet, you know, you put in there, tournament director has the ability to change the structure. Well, I never want to change it too much. I did change this. I tweaked it a little bit. But with in mind, trying to treat the teams as well as we can. I think everybody comes back Sunday the way it looks to me. I could be wrong, but at any rate, I am very excited. I know the people of Cambridge are excited. The ball players are excited in our town here. We could talk a little bit about the draw. There is some of the draws that come out of the hat, but what I do is I minimize it down to certain sections of the bracket, and in the women's as well. I don't know how good each team is. I got a pretty good idea on most. But I think in the past, it's worked out relatively good. As far as the women go, that 16 is the perfect bracket. I have been at 18 teams for the past 2 weeks, and I looked at 20 teams, but I could just imagine getting to 19 and not being able to get that 20th team. And besides that, it adds another 12 games. I think we just don't have room. But
yeah, and when you get numbers that are, not 16 or 8 or 32 or whatever, it gets a little difficult, I think.
Yes, that division. Absolutely. That division by 2 and 4, that 32 and 16 are the perfect numbers. So we will do the Platinum Women's again. And that is determined by your pool play, which has been the same for years. Let's see here. Top two in each pool, bottom two in each pool will go to separate brackets. The top two will go to the Platinum. The home runs are a little greater in that. And the gold division is actually going to be this year a single elimination, but that also has a consolation. So it's really no different than double elimination. It's just, we just don't have room. I'm sorry about that. You'll still be guaranteed 5 games, and if you win one, you'll probably play 8, the way it goes. So we hope we give you enough opportunities. We're not going to have any wristbands or anything in our tournament as far as if a batter buys a purple wristband for $25 or $15, they can hit all the home runs they want. I don't have anything against that. It's just, I'm kind of a meat and potatoes guy, Chris. We got some rules, and the structure of the tournament, it's just good hard-nosed softball, having a lot of fun. But if you want to excel and be playing on Sunday afternoon, you got to work to get there. You really do. So at any rate, as we go through this and the rule packet that you will see in the points of emphasis, park rules as well, we're just going to hit on some things that's going to make it a better tournament, because hopefully you will share it with some of your team.
That's key. We've talked about that before offline, that with rules, and especially if there's any specific rules that are unique to a tournament or a league, it really is up to the manager of each team to relay that information on to their teammates.
It really is. And I'm Chris, I'm usually about 3 years behind on everything. I was still wearing bell bottoms till about 5 years ago.
They're coming back, dude.
Are they?
Yeah, I don't think you. I don't think everything comes back.
I don't think they'll fit. It does. At any rate, I know some of the youngsters nowadays, and just the way the world is. I know it'd be cool to text everybody all this stuff and so on. But once again, thanks for setting up this podcast. I'm feeling a little bit like Major Garrett right now, actually, in the takeout. But
we get that many listeners.
Yeah, as I stumble along here. But
no, you're doing good. You're doing great.
All right, so this event kind of starts on Thursday. The tournament doesn't, but we're going to have we have our alcohol license for 4 days. The Cambridge Legion, who are our partners, are going to work it Thursday night, so Al and Missy and the A team don't have to be there for 4 days straight, and we will make a small donation to our veterans. This is our second tournament of 10 throughout the year. We've been working hard on the park. It's dry, but we water heavy, and we will have that park in great shape. As I said, Legion will be there Thursday night, so local teams in that big men's league we have, please do not bring in any beer, because it's against the rules. It's not all about us making money, but at any rate, it's like I say, it's against the liquor liability rules. Jeff Lemer from S2N, which is second to none, is going to pull in Thursday with his trailer. So he will be there. Friday will be the fourth annual Guns and Hoses game. That's our local law enforcement and firefighters, which some of them, gentlemen and ladies, are dual on each, some EMTs. We need to kind of root on this fire department a little bit. What a great bunch of guys, but that 6-foot trophy has been in the sheriff's office for the last 3 years, and Dave Machinsky, who is the coach of the fire department, being a law enforcement person as well, he has to walk by that trophy every year. Hopefully the game goes well for the fire department, but just to honor our folks, that's a tough world to be in right now. And I think that the fire department and law enforcement should be saluted. So we started that game, like I said, about 3 years ago. This will be the fourth year. That's at 4:30. Beer tent opens about that time. Then the games will begin at 6, and it will be a great atmosphere. I don't see, Chris, any big-time cold fronts coming out of Alberta right now. That's what it worries me, because that creates all kinds of storms. We are prepared with the ground screw throughout the tournament if it does. And as you know, that red lime out of Shakopee, Brine Rock, does shed the water very well. But at any rate, I don't see 101 degrees, nor do I see 50 degrees. So hopefully it's pleasantly 78 degrees with a little 3-mile-an-hour south breeze. At any rate, yeah. Five games at 6 o'clock, so there's a lot of action Friday night. We got Emmett, the DJ, hopefully checking in about 6:30 to play your tunes. I think it's cool that you play some tunes in the dugout. Nothing raunchy, please. But please respect our music, too. And I know Emmett's got a way that you can request your favorite song, kind of like the Major League players do now when they walk up to take their at-bat. They've got their favorite tune on. So.
Yep. I remember last year they let you put in requests, too, and that was pretty easy to do.
Yeah, well, easy for technologists like yourself, but not easy for me. Anyways, so that's Friday night, and it'll be a great atmosphere. Promise you that. We'll give away a couple bats that night, a couple nice prizes. There is some purchase necessary there, but it's not much either at the beer tent or the concession stand. So that wraps up Friday night. There's 8 men's teams that did not play Friday night. Saturday they will be swinging in. And several more women's pool games. Unfortunately, the way we do that and the time we have, we're not going to know exactly who the top two are in each pool, Chris, till around that, probably 4 o'clock area. Some of it will be decided, but there's going to be 2 games in the women's Saturday night, early night in the platinum, and 2 in the gold. And then the rest goes Sunday morning. We did have to start games at 7:45 Saturday morning. I apologize in advance for that, but the only way I'm ever going to get there on time is to sleep on that couch. You know that.
Well, if you got to get up early, it's better to play softball than do something else, like have to go to work or run errands or something. So.
That is correct. Yep. And if I stay on that couch, I know I can get up because somebody will wake me up.
We'll be pounding on that door for you.
All right. I appreciate that, Chris. I just want to step back just a second here, Chris. I want to talk about the 2022 Classic.
Okay.
I've kept these records throughout the years, and you can find the tournament recaps and thousands of pictures on our website at cisoftball.com. 2022, Silverbacks beat Stoop Schmidt Roofing. Blue Line got third. MVP of that Tier 1 was Jeff Sunsmo. And the Tier 2 was Motley Crue was a champion out of Stacy. The Land Sharks, which are now Immortal Installation out of Cambridge Isani, were second. And I think the Loons were from Champlin or Fridley or something like that. They got third. We had the 101.5 shootout last year. That was Snack Squad was the champion, and CBD Joint was runner-up there. Like I say, Jeff Sunsmo was the Tier 1 MVP from the Silverbacks. In the men's Tier 2 and 1.5 last year, Joey Reed from Motley Crue was the MVP. In the women's section, Duck Tech won the tournament. Wild Ones were runner-up. Third place was Minnesota Inferno. Tracy Marbach from Duck Tech was the tournament MVP in the Tier 1. In the Tier 2, MVP was Christina Massey. And I believe she was from the Silverbacks, if I remember correctly. But at any rate, that was a good tournament. I want to talk about some sponsors. Vendors, first of all, I got a call from some gentleman in Fergus Falls last winter, a fellow by the name of Pete Gausted in Fergus Falls, but they've got this polarized, non-polarized prism baseball, prism deep water, prism shallow Oakley sunglasses. We will welcome them. It's fun to have a lot of variety in those in the vendor section.
I think that's a really good fit for a vendor to go along with the traditional softball gear that we typically see there.
Yes.
You know, everyone that plays softball or most people will want to wear sunglasses. And, you know, other events like the county fairs and state fairs, sunglasses are one of the most popular vendors that I typically see. So I think they'll be well received.
Yep. Bob Hortenbach from Hortenbach Sports will be here. Rocket, we call him. He's been good to us. When I need a deal on a bat or something or a bat bag to give away.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. We've bought stuff from him the past 2 or 3 years he's been out there. Bats. I bought a bunch of Easton gear.
Yes.
He's a really good guy.
Yep, he is. And this year, he asked permission to sell $20 raffle tickets. That has nothing to do with our giveaways. But a $20 raffle ticket for an electric bike. And 100% of the proceeds go to the Down Syndrome Foundation. As I mentioned before, S2N, Jeff Lemer, will be here. He's got some nice, nice apparel. And then our good friend Joe McMahon. Joe's everywhere. I don't know how he does it. He plays softball in Burnsville. He lives in Austin. Then he's in Siren. Then he's in Mauston. This guy is every place.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for them for coming. So we get a little bit of rent from them, but we try to be very, very easy on them because it's all part of the atmosphere. Just a few local sponsors. Sean and Jody Okerlund from the Cambridge Bar and Grill. They've been really, really good to us. Voted the best burger in Cambridge. Where you get the support is from, you know, the Cambridge Bar and Grill, Mr. and Mrs. Jeff Klatt from the Pizza Pub, Sidelines, Ron Nelson. My cousin Susie and her husband Dan Michaels are putting in that pizza ranch. I don't think it's going to be open next weekend, but they were talking about a soft opening. But maybe if we treat you folks good enough and we get a bunch of your teams back for the Tournament of Champions on August 18th, it will be open then.
Yeah, and if I could just add a quick note. So I just, you know, as being a resident of Cambridge, I just really appreciate those small business owners.
Yes.
Cambridge Bar and Grill, I mean, think back during COVID, how supportive they were of the community as a whole. I know they were giving, they had their food truck set up for nurses all the time. We go there a lot. I love their burgers. My favorite is the jalapeno with, actually I order with cream cheese, but I think on the menu it's got Swiss. But I love those. And then Rachel, my wife, she loves the deep fried green beans from there.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And then you mentioned Sidelines.
I did. Yep. Sidelines is a good spot. Yep.
I'm a big fan of Sidelines. I love the Razorback burger from there. It's American and Swiss cheese, bacon. And then I got to say, they have the best ranch in the county for sure. I love the ranch there. So.
Yes. Cool. I'm not a big wings guy, but apparently their wings are.
Their wings
phenomenal.
Are probably the most popular item. Another I like to eat. So
yep.
Another pro tip about Sidelines is it's not on the menu, but you can order naked wings with Cajun sauce on the side, and you dip it in the Cajun sauce, and it's so good. So
oh, yes, yes.
Keep that in mind.
Oh, yes, we will. As I said, Mr. and Mrs. Jeff Klatt from the Pizza Pub, they've been very good, sponsor some teams.
Mm-hmm.
If we need a little money for the trophy sponsorship or something, they've been great about that. My cousin Susie and Dan, Pizza Ranch, they sounds like they're going to get involved a little bit. And just going down the line here, these aren't necessarily restaurants, but I'd like to give a shout-out to Tanya Lexvold from TNC in Bradford, which is about 10 miles out of town, on the way to Anoka, on the way to Princeton. Tanya has been very good, good as gas in town. Lauren Davis and his family, Diversified Bronze up in Bram. Actually, they have an interest in the Utapils craft beer. So I'm trying to get that out of my vendor. Blake He's a class act from BP Metals and Isanti and Blaine. Bobby, my classmate at Northbound Liquor, they have been phenomenal as far as getting us little handouts and stuff like that. I'd give like to give a shout out to McDonald Distributing too. They support us with the veterans and the beer sales on Thursday night. And I hope I'm not missing anybody.
Yeah, yep. And just as an aside, one of the goals of this podcast is just a value add for our vendors, or our sponsors, I should say. Mm-hmm. And we just really appreciate all of them. And, you know, they make playing soft, you know, playing at the complex possible. And a lot of our teams, you know, are able to play because of their sponsorship. So we really appreciate them all.
Yes. And you know what? Just jog my memory here a little bit, Chris. I do have to give a shout out to my own company that I work for. We're Polad owned Carousel Motor Group, North Branch Chevrolet, and Brian Sperry. And once I've always said, I don't get involved in softball to coax people to buy cars or whatever. But I do have to tell you a story, and this is about 11 years ago. I was I was umpiring, and a fellow that I know came up to the plate, and I've got my hand up, holding time till he gets set in the box, and he's digging in with his foot, and he looks back at me, and he said, "You got any Suburbans over there?" And I said, "Yes, we do. Do you like blue or silver?" And he says, "I like blue." And I said, "Well, let's talk about it after the tournament." And they came over and bought the vehicle. So I really did sell a car at home plate.
Anyways, that's awesome.
Yeah. But we appreciate the business around Cambridge. It's a booming town. I would say right around 10,000 people, but moving in on 11. And Isani has got about 6. We have a terrible lodging situation, but there's good camping and stuff, and we're working on making sure the city, as they do, trying to attract hotel investors. I'd like to talk a little bit more about the structure. I think we've talked mostly about that, and Emmett Peterson is going to be there. He's the DJ. We are going to have a golf cart available for elderly folks.
Yep. Yeah, question for you. So I've gotten this question working there before. If somebody would like a ride on the golf cart, how do they go about doing that? Just ask you, or is there any certain protocol to follow?
I think that, you know, we're going to have some shirts on for the tournament, some of a staff. And
just find anyone with a staff shirt?
Yeah, and, okay. And they'll get it to Craig, and somebody will be running that thing around. So it's anytime you have a pinwheel, it's not the easiest place to get to if you're handicapped or elderly. So we will help in that instance. If you want to take some BP before your games, there is 3 lacrosse/football fields on the north end. I've already talked to the director. She said there's nothing going on, so that's a good spot to go hit. We do have an AED on the premises if somebody is suffering heart problems. We will also have an ATM. We do not have a card machine. We're trying to get Wi-Fi in the park, and I know there's other ways, but we're working on that. Here's a couple do-nots. We've got 3 parking lots, Chris, and I think there's 560 spots in those. This is a fairly good-sized tournament, but do not park in the grass. You know what happens when somebody parks in the grass and they sit in their car and watch the games? Well, like a lady said to me 3 years ago, she said, "That guy hit a home run. It went right through my windshield." I said, "Well, you're 5 feet behind the fence, ma'am. I'm sorry." At any rate, if you don't get a windshield, I'll sell you a new car. Anyways, and, you know, with the catalytic converter and the air conditioning running, that burns the grass. So the city is done with that. You will probably get ticketed. Absolutely, please. Chris, we need the folks to know, don't bring alcohol into that park. We're going to politely take it out of your hand. And frankly, if you're sitting in the parking lot drinking, that is a no-no right in the guidelines of the liability dram shop. That is trouble. So I think our prices are reasonable. I know if you go buy a case of beer, yeah, it's going to be cheaper. People love to sit out in their chairs. I get it. Sometimes it's a good spot, but please don't do it. Please don't. You can always bring medical medical stuff in your cooler for diabetic folks. Coffee, water, even though we sell water for $1 a bottle. And I know we're not stupid that these tumblers that people have are maybe loaded with a little Bacardi or something, but please, like I say, be cognizant of that and follow the rules if you can. It's true, we do have to make a little money on our beer tent and our concessions, but I don't believe we're out of line on the pricing. If you took a look at the entry fees times the teams and take, we need our fellows and gals in blue to come here and umpire and the payouts we do and the giveaways, just please work with us in that respect. Like I say, you're coming to our house. We want to make sure you have a great experience, but we just got a few little do's and don'ts. So the biggest thing is, managers, if you listen to this podcast here, is that you need to share it with your team. Because as I said, if you want to have a successful event, make sure everybody's on the same page. I know people like to turn their hats around when they bat. You know what? The umpires are politely going to ask you to turn that around. You can only play on one team. That's a strong, strong rule. I get a little heat on that sometimes in league and stuff. I think most people agree with me. That will quickly lose integrity for the tournament. So whether you're in or out of the tournament, if the opposing manager notices that and appeals it correctly, you will, the team you're playing with secondly there or thirdly will lose with a 7-0 forfeit score. Okay. 3-2, no courtesy. You can bat up to 13. If you bat 13 and somebody has to go to work, somebody sprains their ankle, somebody has a hangnail, you can condense all the way down to 9. You can't ever play with 8. You can condense down to 9 with no penalty. If there's a unsportsmanlike ejection, which we'll talk a little bit about later, You need to have a substitute in that person's spot, because first of all, they're going to most likely have to leave the park. And you need to put a person in that spot. We have 65-foot bases, Chris. This is an NSF sanctioned registered tournament. 65-foot bases, a 6-foot, 12-foot arc on the pitch, which needs to be at reasonable speed, moderate speed, maybe a little bit of an arc, a little bit of a hump in it that crosses the batter's front knee and back shoulder, not where they're standing, where they should be standing, and has to, in the umpire's judgment, cross the plate at some point. As everybody knows, the umpire world is getting small, so please have respect for that umpire. I personally, in my mind, don't believe that umpires try to tweak things because they don't like somebody. I really don't. Has it happened? Absolutely. But most of them just want to do a clean game, maybe a 14-13 game and 7 innings, and the team that lost is grateful and they're respectful to the winning team and vice versa. And you can leave the field. Trust me, we work hard at being a fair umpire. I mean, it's all about character and knowing the rules. And
right. And this could be a whole dedicated episode about treating umpires. I just wanted to summarize my thoughts by saying umpires should always be treated with respect, even if they're clearly wrong. They always deserve our respect.
Absolutely, Chris.
They're doing their best.
Yep, absolutely there. And I think it's critical to keep the ones we have, because the way it was going there for a while. And I know this is the same thing in basketball and hockey and baseball. I mean, everybody's screaming for umpires. And the problem is, in this society, maybe the only way you can fix that, it seems like, is with money. You know, more money. And I understand that. Gas is expensive. People have to drive to get to where your assignment is. But, the money doesn't fix it either. So, anyways, like I say, the Tier 1 in the men's, another rule is 7 home runs. It goes down from there. The women's is 4 home runs in the pool play. As I said, a 6-12 pitching arc with a 6-foot step back rule. We instituted that a few years ago. You can go back from the pitching plate up to 6 feet as long as one or both feet are within that perceived width of the pitching plate. 20 after 3, Chris, 15 after 4, 10 after 5, no time limits. We do ask that teams hustle. I won't expound too much on it, but the ejection policy is if you're ejected for unsportsmanlike conduct, you cannot be around the vicinity of that field. We will always be equipped to have a quick hearing and actually determine if you have to leave. Maybe for the day, depending on the crime. But we understand it's a long tournament, and sometimes people get upset, but do not use vulgar profanity. Tossing a bat into the backstop will get you ejected. Any physical or mental abuse of your opponents or the umpire will get you ejected. We just hope that doesn't happen, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Should be a positive environment. And just keep in mind, there are typically children there at the complex watching these games. So.
Absolutely. Yep. This town is softball crazy. It really is. And like we talked about before with what you guys have done in the church softball and so on, it doesn't matter which congregation or which league or whatever. Nobody needs to hear that stuff. So at any rate, like I said, we want you to have a lot of fun. That's what it's all about. Running around when it's 80 degrees, some green grass, some tunes, competing, meeting new people, winning a bet, sitting down, watching the Twins game under the canopy there. We have a pretty big concession stand, not space-wise, but Chris, you got a little bit of that or something to do with that. Your burgers and your brother-in-law's burgers are phenomenal. They really are. We have an all-beef hot dog. We have stadium brats. We have all kinds of freezies, ice cream, Gatorade. Bernick's Pepsi is our vendor. So that's why we have Gatorade, Mountain Dew. What do you like, those little bottles of?
Fast Twitch, Gatorade Fast Twitch.
Yep.
That's the best, especially before a softball game. My play has improved dramatically this year just because I have those before every game. So
cool.
That's my secret.
Yes, sir. Celsius, Kickstarts, water, Gatorade, I mentioned that. A good selection of a lot of giant seeds, all kinds of candy bars, kids candy. Anyways, once again, we would like to thank you in advance for supporting our concession stand and our beer truck. The beer truck is going to be Bush Latte. Is that what they call it? I think.
I believe you're correct. I have not seen those, but I believe you are correct.
Well, I haven't had a beer for 26 and a half years, but let me tell you something. I'm still hungover, but it's a much better life.
For sure, for sure.
Get to see all you guys and all these teams and players. Yep. They also have a Arnold Palmer's and Bud Light Seltzer's. And Al and Missy and the A-team will be running that Friday through Sunday. And like I say, the Cambridge American Legion Post 290, Howard McCarty, will do it Thursday night. I would like to talk a little bit about people, because once again, it's all about the people, in my opinion. You can play softball anywhere, but I've always thought it's very interesting of some of these ball players that I've played against myself through the years. Some people aren't going to care about this, but I was grateful to have a father that was from Princeton, Minnesota, and a mother that was from Cambridge, and they owned a couple bakeries, and my dad was a commissioner, so I got to know a lot of people. And that's what it's all about. And I'm just going to point out a few people here that are going to be at the Classic. And that's going back to, like, a lot of you people in my age group are slightly younger, played against Mark Parrish. I remember he hit a ball over my head in right center field at Wild West days. That's probably still going. I think it's an Auroch right now. That ball never got more than 11 feet off the ground. And he had those strong wrists, like Hunter Shepard, those hockey players. Hunter used to play for the Silverbacks. And I don't know if Allie Thunstrom is going to be around. I think she plays on Point out of Iowa, but she had the single season scoring record in the Women's Professional Hockey League. I talked to a few people. You know, a guy like Geno Buck, Richard Buck out of Red Wing, Minnesota, a high-level softball player. For lack of a better explanation, he used to be on the long-haul home run squad that would go from Major League Stadium to Major League Stadium. And if you don't think guys can or gals can hit 450-foot home runs or maybe even 500, those guys did. He was part of that. And he's played at a high level for a long time. But do you know, Chris, that he was a phenomenal, phenomenal basketball player for Red Wing? I think he's about 6'3", very well built. His coach had said that Geno probably had the most talent out of anybody he coached in 40 years. He was a very strong rebounder and very good defensively. And, of course, Geno's son, Ty, I think, played some baseball at Mankato State. And is it Keisha? Is that his daughter played? She's played in Cambridge a couple of times. She played at UW-Green Bay. Played at New Mexico State. That whole family's got some athleticism. Geno always said that he owes everything to Grandma Clara. And I think the Sixes Wild tournament down at Treasure Island is named after Clara, I believe. But anyway, okay. He's welcome to the Buck family, who's going to be there. And I talked to Todd Hoffman from DeMarini Blackhawk S2N, I believe, out of Southern Illinois. Todd himself is a golf pro in Illinois. He mentioned Jennifer Pisani. I did a little research on her, Chris. She's in the Hall of Fame for the Northern Sun, I think, in basketball and softball. Quite an athlete. So she'll be here. Courtney Ermish, is that correct? She's a professional bowler from the same team. Won the national title in 2016 and 19. That's what I get a kick out of these softball players that we used to have a gal, I can't remember which team it was, maybe the John Files team, the Thunderbolts or somebody like that. She was an Olympian. How about Kelsey Johnson, Mr. V? You know her. She's in our leagues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's awesome. I love watching her play and playing against her. You watch her play. It's crazy how good she is. It's awesome.
Yes, 3 years ago in a co-rec game, it wasn't against my team, but I walked out and as I seen a ball into the right field on field number 4 there over by the farm, crackling the tree limbs up there, I looked at Darren Schumacher or somebody like that, and I said, "Who hit that ball? Was it Berman or somebody like that?" "No, it's that left-handed girl." And I said, "Who?" Well, she had just took a job in Bram as a teacher. And our friend Megan Karlovitz, who's the librarian up there, I believe, she has run or had a lot to do with the screwballs for years. And being a teacher, she hooked her right away. Kelsey, you're playing on our team.
Mm-hmm.
But, yep, Kelsey was actually, grew up in New Prague and also Foothill, Nevada, and was recruited heavily, went to Iowa State in the Big 12, the Cyclones. In 2017, she was all Midwest region. She was a tremendous, tremendous defensive outfielder, a 980 fielding percentage. Also a great hitter, had 60 hits that year, batted 345. In 2015, she was actually a Big 12 all-freshman team. So it's a joy to watch her. I know, you know, I'm proud of my own Korec team, but she took us down one Sunday afternoon hard with one softball that was about 360 that ended up in the cornfield, and the farmer actually got his combine stuck because of it. No, I'm kidding, but usually it's lazy or
I believe it.
Like, yeah. No, she's a great player. DeGeorge Tebbs from Twin City Legacy. Rufus Bess, I think, Chris, you remember him? He played for the Vikings. Rufus was a cornerback, I believe.
Yep.
That was DeGeorge's coach at Minneapolis North, and he called him a lockdown defender, all-metro team. Really a good ball player.
Yeah, I was doing a little research. I didn't get through the whole list that you had, but I was doing a little research ahead of time, and he was on Randy Shaver's all-metro team two years in a row. Yep.
Correct. Yep. And you can tell a lot of that superior athleticism ends up on that softball field, too. So we're glad Twin City Legacy is here, Trey Corr and his crew. And Twin City Cabinets is also their sponsorship. I'd like to give a quick shout-out to Dick Lindberg, one of our umpires that was inducted into the Hall of Fame. I was there last year, Chris, in October. There was 400 people there. And I guess when you umpire for 50 years and run leagues and play and so on, you should probably have a crack at that Hall of Fame. So
yeah, it's well deserved. It's a great honor, and he's awesome. I like talking to him when he's at the ballpark. Just a really nice guy.
Yep, he is. Yep. Stagecoach will be here. They were national champions for USA Softball in. Where are we at here? 2021 and 2022. A version of Comatose will be here because of Tristan Johnston and Cade High are playing with him, and I think Tristan probably had a lot to do with getting that team here. It sounds like 7, 8, 9 of them and a couple of local guys. But they won the USA Championship Class B in 2020 down in Oklahoma City. And in that same tournament, they also have an A division, and they got second in that. Quick story about Tristan Johnson. I think it was Corky's 4 years ago, me and Aaron Schumacher's dad, Ed, went down there, and maybe 5 years ago, I don't know. And Tristan was sitting in the stands, and he was watching a open game on the main field down there with people all over the place. And you know what he said to me, Dr. V, is, he says,
Duke, I'm a doctor now.
Yeah, you are. You are. He said, I want to be there someday. So I know this is kind of a goofy story, but sometimes during the day, I got to run to the bakery and deliver buns out to the ballpark. I pull up to the fields, and I'm thinking, oh, darn it. Didn't my buddy from the city spray the dandelions? There's yellow dandelions all over field number 2. And I pull up, and I get closer. There's probably 150 softballs. There's Tristan out there at 1:30 in the afternoon, hitting off a tee. And as you know, he cuts that ball. And he is a tremendous outfielder, too. He tracks the ball as well as anybody. So we got a few guys, Jake Freeman, Aaron Schumacher, that play in the highest level, Cody Kelsa. So hats off to them guys. Did I mention Freeman, Jake?
Yep.
Yep, I'm not sure if he's going to be there, but I think he is. It's always good to see Jake. The free agents are in town. Amanda Kelly played at MSU, Moorhead, Kayla Webster at St. Kate's. Donnie Robinette, talk about committed to softball. I call it the Silverback Nation, but they've ran three softball teams and a couple broomball teams. They've brought three teams to this tournament for many years. They don't have a C team this year, but they will be there. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in, I think, 2014, I think. He had 37 people with him, and I thought, boy, this guy's got something going on. I did want to talk just a little bit about the Duck Tech ladies team. They have a slew of girls that played at Concordia, and that's Kelly Brennan, Carly Hart, Nicole Thompson. By the way, Nicole, I have your all-tournament team from the TOC Women's State last year that got returned to us. Could have been my mistake or Perry's, but Jamie Lidbow, Katie McKenzie, and Liz Jarosh. No, I'm sorry. Jaros? I shouldn't know how to say that. But there's some ball players there that mm-hmm. they played fast pitch at Concordia.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, so I want to thank Perry Koontz for all his help, too. Perry Koontz has been a strong ally. He's been doing recreational structuring and so on for a lot of years. As some of you know, he was the commissioner for the ASA up till about 2011. This guy's a smart guy. If I ever have a question on something, I talk to Perry.
All right, so Duke had to step away for just a moment. So while he's away, I'm going to kind of keep going on his list here, as it's quite extensive of the people he wants to highlight, which I think is great. That's one of the great things about Duke, is he just loves to talk about people that are part of the game. So next up is Wade Whalen of Stagecoach. He played both baseball and hockey at Northern State in Aberdeen, and also played some minor league baseball. Then we have Ryan Lindgren of Stoop, drafted by two different major league teams, which is pretty impressive. Those would be the Tigers in 05, the Mariners in 06. Kelly Darrow of the Silverbacks. She played softball for the Gophers in the late 80s. Then we have Kim Hanlon of the TC Stars. She played goalie for the Gophers between 05 and 09. Leif Nemo, I've heard of him. So Leif Nemo is very well known, the face of anarchy, and maybe here with Duck Tech this weekend, so that'd be great. Speaking of Duck Tech, they were fourth nationally, so at the USA National Championships in 2021, they were fourth in B, and then also fifth in A. And then they also are have a three-peat going here. They've won three straight USA Open state titles. Christina Massey, she was MVP last year in the gold division for the Silverbacks. They beat the TC Stars in the championship there. A couple thank yous. So thank you to Pat Hammerstrom of Duck Tech. Duck Tech Heating and Cooling for his ongoing support and sponsorship of softball. Thank you as well to Sean Stancer of Dirty Swag Apparel. They do uniforms. Anyone that's local here is well aware of Dirty Swag Apparel. Duke just wanted to thank Sean very much for designing and making us a good deal on the t-shirts for the tournament this year. So thank you, Sean. And then looks like Duke is getting back, so I'll hand things back over to him. Okay, and you had Jason Dahlberg on notes, I'm looking at least.
Yes. Jason, the Brecken softball tournament, Chris, is began with, I believe, Nate Bergau started it. I don't know that Jason started it, but he's been by his side. And Heather Cook, I believe, it looked like she was really, really well into the tournament. She started about 3-4 months ago, and I seen posts from her every day. That's a lot of work, but she did a nice job, and it sounds like they had a good tournament down there. But Jason will be around. His son's graduation open house is Saturday, but he said he's going to bring me a pulled pork sandwich, which...
Of course.
I will appreciate that. Maybe you can have one, too. At any rate, Dr. V... thank you for everything, and we're all fired up for this tournament. We're all fired up your men's or women's team is coming, or maybe just as a fan. But like I said, I'm kind of a meat and potatoes guy. We're going to have some fun, but we're going to play some ball. You bring your bat and glove and give 100%. You don't have to win. Striving to win is fun, but you work hard, and there might be some money. There'll be awards. And once again, you meet a lot of people and bond with your teammates and everybody else. So
appreciate it, Duke. And we'll see you at the ballpark.
Very good. Take care, everyone. Thank you. Yep. Bye.
Bye.